here's a question, and it's a question that I've answered probably once, maybe more than once, on the podcast and on numerous occasions elsewhere. This is coming from Haridas Prabhu, and he says, in the USA, most devotees are watching movies on a daily basis, and their kids are listening to rap music. Eating foodstuffs with garlic and onions are also the norm here, as well as drinking caffeinated drinks. Could you please comment on these? In comparison, European devotees have milder habits. I don't know how correct that later observation is, but I can't really comment that Europeans are stricter in their habits than Americans. It may be just because Krishna consciousness has got a head start there in America. It would require some kind of statistical analysis to say who is how strict. And for me, it's a shame, really, that these questions need to be answered. Obviously, there is a need for it because the phenomena itself exists, and devotees, people become bewildered when they see these type of obviously inappropriate conduct from Vaishnavas. But then, that's variety in Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness doesn't mean that there will only be pure devotees. Srila Prabhupada gave us pure devotional service as the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but it also means that there'll be a whole gamut spectrum of Krishna consciousness practiced by different types of devotees, from the very conservative and very strict to those who are very, very liberal, accommodating, or can we say faithful to the main principles that Srila Prabhupada had given in terms of sadachar and sadhan. And that's to be expected. We should accept that. People are individuals. They have different modes of nature, different types of association, different goals in life, and the result will be is that when they come in contact with Krishna consciousness, they will practice Krishna consciousness differently. The objectionable thing is that devotees should not rationalize that a lower variety of Krishna consciousness is okay. It's acceptable, it's no big deal, and therefore devotees should not change standards. Rather, we accept that yes, variety of following will be there, and some will follow four principles, and others three, and others two, and in the same way, some will be stricter with these things such as no television watching, no going to movies, and garlic and forbidden foods and coffee and what have you. And others will not be so much, and then some others will be very active in that. And how can we avoid that? We can't just force that only one type of Krishna consciousness will be followed. But based on Srila Prabhupada's teachings and books, we should just readily accept what the standard is. Alright, TVs and movies, regularly watching TVs and movies, by that I accept it. People have televisions in their homes, and they watch television, they buy DVDs, and watch the latest things. There are two main defects that I'll just comment on, although I would say that there are many of these type of activities, whether they're done regularly or even occasionally. Even the occasional practice, although obviously not so bad, is questionable. The first is that these programs over this media almost always displays intoxication, especially illicit sex, graphic sex life, violence, and gambling. And therefore watching it is to break the regulative principles. For what reason do I need to go out of my way to observe and watch the sinful activities of Kali Yuga when it's already a difficult enough thing to stay away from it, just walking down the street, going to a shop to do shopping, or going out on Sankirtan or Harinam? These things are already bombarding us and challenging the consciousness of a serious practitioner. So why then would I want to bring these type of things into my home, to pollute my own consciousness, to give ideas to children? The answer is because people have material desires, and they give in to those material desires. All right, anyway, I'll come to that. I'll come back to this. The second main defect is that when you anything that you see makes an impression within the heart. So the very rampant violence, sex, intoxication, bad language, fairy tale world like Spider-Man, people jumping off of buildings, flying through the air, and irreverence for the real values of life. These have an impression within the heart. And when these things become an impression in the heart, they become naturally a source of meditation. It's something that we will meditate upon because that impression will surface even at a later time. Even when I'm not busy watching TV, at some other time it will come out. And not only will it come out as a reflection within the mind, but they will also cause seeds of material desire within the heart, and they will also water existing seeds or creepers of material desire. So it is a very detrimental thing for Krishna consciousness. And now let me just elaborate on these two things a little further. The first one is breaking principles. Initiated devotees vow to follow the regulated principles. Although we refer to brahmacharis and sannyasis, we say that even within the mind, if one contemplates sense objects or sex life, then he's breaking the regulative principles. And while grihasthas have a license, but they have a license only within their own married situation. They don't have a license for free viewing of sex and other prohibited activities. So that for them, to contemplate it, to do it, to enjoy it, etc., is all breaking the regulative principles. How then can an initiated devotee do these things with a clear conscience? And of course, what is the effect of breaking the regulative principles? We commit sin. And by committing sin, we complicate our spiritual lives, we entangle ourselves within material existence, we have to suffer from the results of that sin. And now I go on to the second point, is that by committing sin, there's also an effect within the mind, and that is that sinful thoughts linger within the heart. And these sinful thoughts come up just like bubbles come from the mud in the water, and they become the source of other sinful desires, which then become the result of further sinful acts. And ultimately, what devotees see on television or in movies, they'll end up doing that. So when they see infidelity between husband and wife, they'll end up doing the infidelity. When they see who knows what, violence or other activities, they'll do that. When they become bewildered, thinking that materialism, egoism, pride in the material body is the all in all, they'll become more body conscious and more egotistical. And all of these things strangle the creeper of devotional service that one has had, and therefore make one's devotional life more or less null and void. Why do devotees do this? Well, obviously they're doing it because they're not doing what they should be doing, which is chanting Hare Krishna and hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita. At least they're not doing those activities without offense, and they're not doing them enough. And because they're not doing them enough, therefore they don't have enough spiritual strength to resist either the social pressure of other weaker associates who are doing these things, and the natural inner desires which are still there for conditioned souls. Anyway, as I mentioned earlier, this may be the way of mixed devotional service, and we can say that that is the way of broad-based preaching and Krishna consciousness spreading to all kinds of people. What can be done? Some people will be like that. But it should not be passed off. That type of behavior should not be passed off as being something that's okay, that's desirable, that it's equivalent to pure devotional service, that it's no big deal. Otherwise, in due course of time, we'll become like other religions whom we criticize for compromising their own values, religions for whom meat eating, eating cows, is no big deal. Just recently, when I was in the UK, there was this reaction in the media where some Hindu organization was objecting to the proposal that Hindus don't eat meat. In other words, they were publicly not only stating but arguing that Hindus are meat eaters. Now, it is a fact that Hindus do eat meat, at least those who consider themselves to be Hindus. But still, to be in a situation where we're now publicly standing up in the media and saying that in Hinduism, you eat meat, that Hinduism where just 30 years ago, 80% of Hindus didn't eat meat, is an indication how in time people are willing to change standards. As for things like garlic, onions, caffeine, anyway, everyone has their own choice. But it should be very clear that it's against Srila Prabhupada's instructions, and that it's not okay. It's a compromise. It's a lowering of standards, which may be someone's standard, but it should be very clear that a lower standard differentiates one type of devotee from a devotee who's practicing a higher standard. Even if that devotee who has made more compromises in his Krishna consciousness is nicer, polite, and so many other things, at least that's the evaluation on the basis of behavior, sadachar. All right. Now, in closing, where does TV, movie, devotional service lead to? Krishna says, yam yam bhapi suram bhavam. When you fill your mind with superfluous things, when these things are rampant within the heart, then it's going to be inevitable that this will be actually our consciousness. We will not be Krishna conscious. We will be, I don't know, Spider-Man conscious or what other things that people watch, but one will not be Krishna conscious. And what will happen? At the time of death, we'll not be able to think about Krishna because we haven't practiced thinking about Krishna, and because our thoughts of Krishna have been subdued by voluntarily subjecting ourselves to such a oppressive, fast-moving, violent and aggressive media, that these things are locked within the mind, just like a Xerox copier or a photograph. The mind is like that. And they're not just going to go. They have to become gradually purified, and only pure devotion will be able to purify those. So therefore, yam yam bhapi smram bhavam, at the time of death, devotees will then think of these things. And what will happen? Then they will go there, Spider-Man Loka. Go ahead, you go. But how can a real devotee, a real follower of Srila Prabhupada, conscientiously sit, spend his time watching these things, knowing that Srila Prabhupada rose at midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning, toiled in the early hours just to give us Srimad Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita, sacrificed his last years of his life, shortened his life, just for the purpose so that we will be able to purify our consciousness, so that we will be able to put Krishna within our hearts, so that we would be able to think of Krishna while we're living in this world, and when we leave this body, that we'll be able to continue thinking of Krishna and ultimately then go to Him. I really hope that I never become entangled in such type of compromised activities. I would consider that I was really being unfaithful and ungrateful to Srila Prabhupada, and I hope I never get in this situation where I try to rationalize my illicit and foolishly materialistic behavior in the name of Krishna consciousness. I would really not consider that if I was doing these things that I was really a Prabhupada man, or at least the type of man that Srila Prabhupada wanted his followers to be. Anyway, Hari Das Prabhu, I could probably write books, but that's enough, and it really makes at least the points I want to make in brief. Hare Krishna.